Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right. Welcome back to a late Chase's sick under the weather edition, but still does it for the people edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I'm joined as I am every single Monday night. It's my good friend, Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
Well, before we started recording, went through the whole process, the hypochondriac process that I'm dealing with in the last 12 hours. It's a lot. It's a lot to put up with. The life partner is a saint for what she puts up with my daily routine here. I'm very Larry David-y, I found, in my age. And I think turning 30, I don't know. Nothing is crazy anymore once you turn 30. You're like, oh, I'm not young enough for this to be crazy. So that's now in the back of my mind. Is that in the back of your mind at all?
No, I'm incredibly healthy and I'm never worried about that at all.
What is your diet? What do you eat every day?
I try and just, you know, I don't like no sodas, no fast food. I try and not a lot of sugar. If I drink coffee, it's like cold brew.
So what is your breakfast? What's your lunch? What's your dinner like? What's your typical one?
My breakfast is a protein shake. It's a half a cup of oats, two natural scoops of peanut butter, four strawberries, a banana, and protein. And, you know, lunch is usually either like chicken and rice, ground turkey and rice, Chipotle, which is just really that too. Stuff like that.
We're waiting for the main event, the dinner. What's the traditional dinner?
Honestly, dude, since I lived in this place, I haven't cooked, I don't think, maybe once or twice. I've just been ordering out because I'm lazy.
But you order out healthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's why Chipotle is usually my go-to, because you can just get, you know, rice, black beans, vegetables, protein. It's pretty straightforward. You don't want to go heavy on the cheese or sour cream. Little things.
What's your go-to Chipotle order?
Burrito if I'm going heavy and want to add some carbs with that little tortilla.
Okay.
And bowl if I'm trying to go light.
Interesting.
And I usually do more hot sauce and like no sour cream and cheese, or just light sour cream and cheese.
Huh. Okay. How, like when you do the weekends that you did, we'll do the White Claw we can wrap up right here. Not sponsored by White Claw, but one half of this podcast is. When you get back, like you did this evening, and you had the kind of weekend that you had, Evan, you tweeted about this.
Right.
How do you get back in gear? How do you get out of that weekend vibe, that weekend lifestyle? How easy is it for you to transition back to your normal Monday through Friday routine?
No, so today was Monday, right? And so when I go on trips, I'll fly back on Sunday. But this time I flew back today. So today I was, I woke up and I was thinking I'd probably go to the gym because they have a gym at my friend's house that I was staying at. And I wasn't even hungover, but I was exhausted. I think my body was just physically exhausted from going all weekend long. So I ended up we got a massage today, which was great. Very, very, very necessary. And then, tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to take pre-workout and force myself to go to the gym.
I need to get a massage. I just wrapped up school this past week, finished the 4-0 this semester.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And I am done with school for 4 months almost. So trying to figure out how to feel it's just that weight off my shoulders. But I've got some knots up here in my shoulder blades, Evan Swords. And I don't know. I need to find somebody. That was something I had on my list during the summers, to do something to work out all these knots. But as you can tell, just I'm a worry person. I'm a worrier. I just knots all day long. And it just... all kinds of stress and anxiety. It probably is not healthy, and it's probably not good to do long term. Would be my guess, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I know it's. How can I say this delicately? Mm-hmm. But stop worrying. You're fine.
I know.
Come on. What are we doing? You're 30 years old. Relax.
I know. Funny story time. So this is what the people want before we get into NFL talk, Evan.
Yeah.
When I was, I think, 22, I was going to the bathroom a lot, doing number one a lot in college. I think I was a senior, and I begged my mom to get me to go to the doctor to get checked out. And I was just convinced. I had lived that entire semester, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I'd self-diagnosed. That I was preparing for the insulin shots. I was preparing for the lifestyle changes. I'm not even kidding. That was a semester of my life. I was just oh, I know what's going on here. I'm just ready for this life. I was adding it to my identity before I even got diagnosed. And I just thought it was a surefire thing. I remember that car ride vividly, just being all right, well, everything changes now. And it wasn't type 1 diabetes. It was, though, a thyroid issue.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone's experienced the pain of dropped calls and internet outages, especially working remotely this last year. So here's the question. If you're the telco company, how do you help create better experiences for customers? Simple. ServiceNow digital workflows can help solve network problems faster and provide real-time status updates so customers aren't left in the dark. That's probably why ServiceNow workflows have helped telco companies see an increase in customer satisfaction. But proactive customer communication's only half the battle. With a single view of your back, middle, and front office operations, ServiceNow workflows also eliminate silos, keeping teams more in sync and more productive. With our scalable services, companies assure a better experience for both customers and employees on a single platform, the Now Platform. So how do you help provide a better network experience for customers? With ServiceNow for telecommunications to help streamline network operations. Whatever your business is facing, let's workflow it. ServiceNow.
Was it hypo or hyper?
Hyper.
Huh. Okay.
He said my heart beated like a jackrabbit. I remember that distinctly. When they did the EKG, my natural heart rate's way too fast. And I don't know if you could tell, Evan, but I might.
I cannot stress it enough. This is the least surprising thing I've heard all day. You seem like someone that runs fast.
Yes.
That engine is going at all times.
Correct. It's tough to turn off. Sleeping is hard. I need to do you meditate at all?
I have the Calm app actually, and I have a very hard time sleeping. So I've been taking just over the counter sleeping pills probably for like 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also instilled, I now use the Calm app. I pay for the subscription, yearly subscriptions, like $70 a year or whatever. And they have like sleep stories, right? Where people with very soothing voices will tell stories, and I'll like turn it down just literally so I can't understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but the act of someone casually talking in a soothing voice in the background helps me relax and go to bed. And I know that that is a kind of a form of meditation.
Yeah, I can't sleep in silence. That stresses me out more. I'm not a silent sleeper. I need Arrested Development playing in the background, or I'm not going to sleep. Like, it's just not happening.
Yeah, I think it's pretty common.
Yeah, it is. But it is frustrating when you're traveling or something like that, and you can't get what you need. So, it's a weird request. Be like, hey, I need a way to put on this TV show that I've seen a billion times so I can actually get some sleep.
Oh, wait, are you specifically, you need it to be literally Arrested Development?
Correct.
Okay, well then, yeah, well, we'll have to talk to your therapist about that. There's something there.
I think there's a lot there with a lot of the seven. Yeah. But we don't have to search deep in those gators. And
It's not that type of podcast.
No, you can listen to Sam Harris for that. Waking up with Sam Harris. Tim Tebow, I want to get your perspective on this. And I saw the reaction today about what I expected. It's interesting to see what kind of figure he is 8 years removed from the NFL. He signs a 1-year deal with Jacksonville to be a tight end, reuniting with Urban Meyer, the guy who coached him, believed in him, won a national title with him. They're very close. It's a tryout, basically. Like, they have nothing to lose, I guess. But seeing all the people that, like, I respect and like, and seeing the diverse collection of thought was interesting, but it does seem like he still draws a lot of ire from a lot of people. And there was I'm not going to name who it was, but I very much disagree with this perspective, which was, I wish I had something along the lines of, I wish I had the confidence Tim Tebow has to do what he does at 33. And my response to that internally was like, what is he supposed to do? What's wrong with like just trying stuff out and trying to reinvent yourself while you're still in your athletic prime? Like, he's doing different things. He tried baseball. It didn't work. He tried being a quarterback. Didn't work. He tried doing the analyst stuff, got bored clearly. Like, he just wants to be an athlete and try different stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I, as someone who is doing different stuff in journalism, like, I understand this idea of like, hey, this didn't work, let me pivot to this, or let me try different things. But this idea that you should just like go away forever because it didn't work out, or you're taking someone else's job because you came back, it's like, it's, they could have just not signed him. Like, it, I'm sure they could have just not done that. And if you're Tebow, like, what is the I don't know. That was my perspective. What's your perspective?
So what you have to understand is that Tim Tebow's situation is a vessel for a lot of different conversations with a lot of different, things behind it, right? There's a lot of context that's not really like discussed outwardly. The idea of white privilege is kind of the big thing, right? Like, Tim Tebow's kind of like, really failed himself in the NFL, not college, obviously, it was a very successful college, but kind of failed himself into new situations. And I think the idea of, this, perfect smile, perfect hair, white guy who's not a good quarterback in the NFL, goes to play baseball, doesn't really, he's not a good baseball player, but got a job because he was popular. And now he's, 33 years old, trying to play a position he's never played at the highest level of football. Now, there's so much that goes with that, that I think a lot of people can have issue with in the grand scheme. There's also the Colin Kaepernick thing, right? One of the biggest arguments when people, explain why they thought Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be in the NFL is, oh, well, it's a media circus. The teams don't want to deal with it. Right. And then here you go. You have a guy who's been out of the NFL for twice as long as Colin Kaepernick, who is going to be a massive media circus, and he's getting a tryout for a position he's never played. Colin can't even get a tryout for a position he was pretty damn good at. So I don't necessarily – I agree with you that it's like it's not Tim's fault. Like Tim's just trying to do what he wants to do. He's just trying to, you know, stay in sport, which obviously is something that he cares very much about. Like, you know, he could just be an analyst right now. And you, like you mentioned, it doesn't seem like that's what really drives him, right? He physically wants to be playing a sport. So I don't think there's anything wrong with Tim taking these opportunities, but I think it's the system in which allows him to do these things is that is the issue, right? Like,
well, I think this is unique because if Urban's not running the Jaguars, none of this happens. And I also think because he was willing to grind in the minors for the Mets and like be really bad for a long time and ultimately it didn't work out, but like I think if there was an NFL minor league system, he would have done the minor league system for tight ends and just worked from the ground up. That would be my perspective.
Well, I mean, there is the CFL. I mean, it's
I guess.
Not the minor league system. And I think, to be honest with you, I'm less worried about the Tim Tebow situation. Like today specifically is like, hey, I don't have a take. I refuse to have a take on this Tim Tebow situation. The thing that I really did have something that I really felt passionate about is how stupid the fucking Jaguars are. Like, we haven't seen it. You know, we got to kind of wait and see. But I just can't imagine being as bad as the Jaguars have been for as long as they've been and having, you know, a Super Bowl roster, but refusing to get rid of Blake Bortles. And then now getting the number one pick. And we've already talked about Trent Baalke in detail and how terrible of a GM he is and how terrible of a GM he seems to already be, again, drafting two players with ACL tears in the first three rounds. And then on top of that, you've got Urban Meyer, who great college coach, but also seemingly kind of a piece of shit, right? You know, has used medical issues as excuses to get out of coaching.
Well, those are real. I will push back. Those are real. The brain cyst is real. The issues at Ohio State that ended it, like the heart stuff, the stress.
I'm talking more so about how he had those issues at Florida and then went and coached at Ohio State.
Well, I think that was more like, I think two things can be true. And I think this goes back to Tebow and Kaepernick too, which is that like, I am not a all or nothing person. I think two things are true there where I think Urban had health issues and could not handle being away from football and was just like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to keep having health issues and deal with this. I think.
But do you know why? Because you're a positive, good person and you have hope. The reality is that's fuck no. Just like it's a sweet thought. And you're like, oh yeah, Urban just really, you know, he couldn't. No.
I don't think he liked being away. I really don't.
I think he used that as an excuse to get out of Florida, which is what he wanted to do. And then once again, he didn't want to leave Ohio State, but the situation that he had, right, with that coaching, you know, I mean, we're all very aware of why he left Ohio State, right? Like, to me, this is a guy that is running away from his problems and he's getting himself into situations. And here again, he gets hired as the head coach of the Jaguars, having not coached in a year and really never been successful outside of the, you know, college. And what does he do? He immediately tries to hire one of his buddies who's got recent history of saying racist things and being an aggressively shitty person. And it was like one of the first things that he did. And he ended up having to take it back and not hire this person. I'm wanting to bring it back. I don't have an issue with Tim Tebow doing what he wants to do. I don't think there's anything wrong there. I think it's the bigger story is Urban Meyer is a damn fool for trying to bring Tim Tebow in at 33 years old to play tight end rather than giving the roster spot to someone that can use it. And now you're right.
We also don't know that.
Tryout.
Yeah, like, we really have no idea. Tebow might just be crazy at tight end. No idea.
He's 33 years old.
Yeah.
He hasn't played football in 8 years.
I mean, that guy's in shape. I'm not really worried about the in shape. And he also, it's not like he's been 30. He's not an NFL 33. Like, he is I've been away from football and that kind of pounding for 8 years. Like, the baseball grind is not, I would not say is parallel to the football grind. I also just think that, like, I don't know. I just, the Tebow thing doesn't, it just really doesn't bother me. I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I think it's another weird urban move. But, like, I would say, and I want to get your position on this, is that, like, I think paying Taysom what the Saints paid Taysom is way more egregious than the Jaguars taking a flyer on Tim Tebow. Like, that is way more egregious. And I think that should bother way more people than Tim Tebow signing a tryout contract in Jacksonville.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the Taysom Hill thing is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. When it comes to the NFL, it was just absolutely mind-boggling. And yeah, 100% agree.
But that being said, yeah, Kaepernick got blackballed, and it just moved on. Joel Anderson had a great series of tweets of Slate, very good writer and podcaster, about all this. Like, the NFL won, definitively. Like, they moved on. Like, it's over. Like, they won, and then this is it. And that's all true, but I also just, like, I don't think it's fair to just toss all of that on Tebow. I just don't think the two are fair. I really don't. I don't think it's fair to those people.
But it's not just tossing it all on Tim Tebow. His situation garners that type of discussion. There's a difference between using Tim Tebow as an example and blaming Tim Tebow for it. It gives context to a conversation that a lot of people aren't over with, right? Because you got to remember, yeah, the NFL won when it came to the Colin Kaepernick situation, but there was a lot of fans who said media circus. Yeah. That's why. Not worth it. He's not even that good. He's not even that great of a quarterback. Tim Tebow is 33. He's a media circus, and Lord knows he's not. He's never played tight end before, so you can't tell me he's good. You can't say he's bad. We don't know, but you sure can't say he's good. You haven't seen it.
Right.
So it's not Tim's fault, but this is the antithesis of the Colin Kaepernick situation. This is literally what people screamed. Can't sign Cap in the NFL anymore. He's too big of a media circus. So once again, it's not like anyone's going, this is your fault, Tebow, but it's context, right? You go, okay.
Yeah. Optimism for Rondale Moore and Zaven Collins for your division rival, the Arizona Cardinals. I watched a lot of Rondale in college. When he got drafted by the Cardinals, it's just your division has a lot of receivers like this that are going to be interesting. And, like, the Seahawks just love their speedy guys downfield for Russell to find when he's on the run. You have the Rams with their three-headed monster. You have your team with Debo and Hurd and and Brandon Ayuk and all your different guys and Kittle and how you're going to use that in Shanahan's offense. And then we haven't really seen that, though, because Andy Isabella has not popped in Arizona.
Nope.
I think it's fair to say that's probably not happening, the Andy Isabella experience. Larry Fitzgerald probably gone. And they suddenly had, like, kind of a weak wide receiver core for Kyler going into an important year for Kingsbury in year three. I thought this quote from Kingsbury was interesting, where he said Rondale was able to do a bunch of different things, whether it's handling the ball from the backfield, toss him on a sweep, go outside, or on a fade route. He does it all. And then the return game is really impressive as well. Who does that remind you of?
I mean, Tyler Lockett? Is that kind of where you're going?
No, I think it's like a blend of Tyler Lockett and Debo. Like, I think He's built like a Debo, and I think the Cardinals might have their own Debo, where if you watched him, this dude's a rock. If he was a couple inches taller, I forgot who made this point, and it's true when you watch him play. If he was just a couple inches taller, he's Julio Jones in the NFL. But because he's not.
Let's relax.
Rondale Moore is special in college, sir.
Do you know how tall Rondale Moore is?
That's what I'm saying. He's a lot smaller than Julio. Size.
He's 5'7".
That's what I'm saying. He's 6'1". He's going where everybody else is going.
Brother, he's 5'7". He's one of the shortest people in the NFL.
That's what, like, I'm saying. That's why he's not going to be the Julio Jones, Jalen Waddle types. He's just not big.
I know, but, like, there's a huge disparity there. He's 181 pounds at 5'7", so he's a thick boy. But, yeah. You know, I think – when it comes to the Cardinals, like, Rondale Moore was an exciting receiver. A lot of draft analysts were very excited about him as a prospect coming out of the draft. I still think they're going to have to figure out their offensive scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't just keep running the same three plays over and over again like they did last year. But it's not the offense I worry about, right? Like, I think that Kyler Murray is a special quarterback, and he's going to be able to kind of, you know, in the similar light that Russell Wilson was able to. Like, he's going to make plays. He's a special athlete, and I think he'll figure it out. I'm really surprised Andy Isabella didn't work. But, you know, who knows? What I'm more interested in when it comes to the Cardinals is how they took Isaiah Simmons last year with, like, what, the top 10 pick, was like the number 8, right? Didn't know how to play him all year long, never knew what position to put him in, really had no plan for him whatsoever. And then this year, again, 16 overall, they take a similar guy as Zaven Collins. So
I'm not worried. They have a type, Hassan Riddick, him, Kandici. Yeah. The, like, if you do the Steve Keim defensive Rolodex draft picks, it's not great. It's really, really bad.
All right, so that's my point. Like, I think their offense is going to do their thing just because I think Kyler's, you know, like I said, he's a special athlete. But it's that defense that, like, you think about all the people you just named in the NFC West, right? And if the Cardinals continue to struggle drafting defensive players in a division that has Russell Wilson and now Trey Lance, right? And even Matt Stafford with a bunch of weapons and a very good offensive scheme. That's what I'm more worried about. I think Rondale Moore, I don't know that I trust any receiver that's 5'7 in the NFL. I mean, like, I don't know. I think we're going to get more memes and, like, more, like, jokes about him and Kyler together than we will get, like, actual production. But we'll see.
Okay. I hope not. Rondale's fun, man. Him, Laviska Shenault, my two dudes in college last couple of years. Love watching those two guys. PFF Forecast, a very good NFL podcast that you should tune into. I was listening to them this morning, and they had the AFC North as the best division in the AFC. And I thought about this. They're very high, and they're beating the over for the Bengals. Very high on the Bengals going into this year. Very low on the Steelers. I think the Steelers over-under right now is like 8.5, and a lot of people are going under or just over, but a lot of questions in Pittsburgh. Below average quarterback, offensive line that's in shambles, losing Bud Dupree, some questions on defense, lack of running game, reaching on Najee Harris, all kinds of stuff.
I was going to ask then, when you saw them take Najee Harris, was that like a what the hell are you doing moment?
For me, yes.
Yeah.
I just, like, there's a strong possibility the undrafted Travion Hawkins from Louisville, who's going to be on the Falcons this fall, has more production, like total yardage, than Najee Harris in Pittsburgh this year.
Oh, Trey Sermon is absolutely going to have more production.
But that's what I'm saying. You can just find
him. And he won't even start.
That's the weird thing about Kyle, though. Kyle just, like, he loves paying running backs who don't produce. That's his favorite hobby, is he loves paying running backs that don't ever do anything for the team. But then he gets all kinds of production from the guys he doesn't pay. Like Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon, and then the Matt Breda's come out, and the Raheem Mostert's. Like, those are the ones who actually end up producing. It's very weird.
Yeah, no, 100%. I don't know if it's just the Browns being the Browns, but they had a pretty decent season last year, and they obviously had that run towards the end, but I just don't. I'm still not, like, all the way there that the Browns are going to be, like, a powerhouse team by any means. The Ravens, I think I'm higher on Jackson than most, but it does kind of feel like, as a 49ers fan, you see the Greg Roman situation unfolding again, right? Like, people are starting to really, like, tune in to, like, oh, Lamar Jackson can't pass, or, you know, like, he's struggling on these blah blah blah, and it's like, no, it's Greg Roman all over again, right? Running the ball in a very boring, predictable manner and stunting your quarterback's growth. I think the Ravens are going to be really competitive next year, but I'm very curious to see what the Greg Roman situation does. The Bengals are going to be bad next year. I don't care what anyone says. They're going to be bad. I'm really worried about Joe Burrow's knee. I mean, that's just not a fun situation. And yeah, I think the Steelers, if they're really bringing back Ben, I just don't know if they can win more than like 8 games. So I absolutely don't think they're the best division. That's for damn sure.
Interesting. But when you think about it, who would you place above them? Because it's hard. I think the only division I place
division?
Above them. Yeah, I think the AFC West is sitting there. If Rodgers becomes a Bronco, then I think there's no question.
I'm absolutely taking the NFC West, period. 100%. No doubt about it.
No, I'm saying taking division in the AFC. It's only an AFC conversation.
Okay, if you're saying AFC, yeah, I could see that. But I mean, I would still say the AFC West is definitely probably where you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm. It's the AFC not South the AFC might be South. Interesting.
I think it could be. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
The Jaguars, yeah, probably not. But I think the Colts, the Titans are going to be good.
Mm.
Like, I think those are both teams that are going to be 10-win teams. We'll see, you know, what goes on with the Colts and Wentz, but I think they have a really, really good team around him. The Texans are going to have the number one overall pick next year. Is that correct?
I mean, it's early, but they're a favorite, I would say, yes. Did you see Peter King had the Eagles and the Panthers as co-favorites for Deshaun Watson next year?
Yeah, I don't know if Deshaun Watson ever plays football ever again.
I don't either.
I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I have a friend who lives in Arizona. You know, once again, this is all whatever. But he was at the barbershop and there were, I'm not even going to say who, but there were some NFL members, players, coaches, all talk and they're talking about it. And it sounds to me, from what I'm hearing, that a lot of the people in the NFL knew this about Deshaun Watson. Like, it seems like it was less of a secret within the NFL than others. And we were talking because my buddy used to play football for a pretty prominent school and in college. And he was like, yeah, you know, the one thing that I thought was really interesting is like football players have each other's back all the time, no matter what. Like Aaron Hernandez, remember the Pouncey brothers had his back. He's a murderer. He's like, no one is defending Deshaun Watson right now. He's like, that's how you know it's bad. So I mean,
if the report, like that's the, everything comes down to if the allegations are true, he is a awful, despicable person. And yep. If they're not, then like, this is the craziest, like, money scheme of like get money from rich athlete of all time. I lean more towards the former would be my guess. But we'll
the
see.
Rumor was that he stole one of the massage chairs from the Texans facility. Like he would like that's like, think about that. Like he doesn't need to steal anything. He's Deshaun Watson, but that's like how bad it is.
I forgot who I was reading who had, I think it was a USA Today article this morning about that, where his behavior to the psychologist, I think it was either a psychologist or a lawyer in the piece. I'm trying to remember, but it was essentially laying out that like it was an addiction where like it was a level of recklessness for no reason and an addiction where it's like, what are you like? Just it's all bad. But there is a piece outlining all of it and the steps and like the timeline, and it's all bad, and it just sucks. It sucks, especially for the women that had to go through this. It's just awful. It's awful, shameful, and terrible. I would say, though, on the Browns, I have talked myself into them being the number two team in the AFC next year. I think we're going to get a little bit of what the Bills were this past year with the Browns. I think we're going to get a big Baker year, another full year in Stefanski's system. I think Stefanski's got a really good system. The offensive line's great. They get OBJ back. They have Landry. They have Austin Hooper. They have talent everywhere. You look at defense. They signed Clowney. You got Garrett. You got guys all over the place. You got Denzel Ward. You look up and down this roster, and I'm like, I don't know where Andrew Berry still needs to fill any needs. Like, this roster if they were not Cleveland, if we did not have Cleveland Browns in front of this roster name, then I think people would look at them very differently. If this was the Steelers roster, he would be like, oh, they're going to be absolutely the team that challenges the Chiefs. Now, this is the new thing that teams in the AFC are going to just have to run into every year. The Chiefs are just going to be the kings of the AFC for the foreseeable future. Like, they're just not going anywhere. It's going to be a pain to knock this franchise off, but it's like they are going to contend every year. That is a fact of life. They are going to contend, and it's going to be hard. You go through them to get through the AFC. That doesn't mean you can't, but that's the reality. And I look at it and I'm like, man, I could see a Browns Chiefs AFC title game next year. I think that is in the cards, and I think we're due for a little bit of a bend back to the norm for Josh Allen. And I think that doesn't mean I think he's going to be bad, but I think progress is just, it's not always linear. And I think a full off season with Stefanski is going to pay serious dividends for Baker. And I think getting OBJ back will help immensely. They're running back tandem in the backfield to close games out. Like, they are loaded from top to bottom. And I think the Ravens have had an amazing offseason. Getting Villanueva was a sneaky great thing for them. I love their draft. I love their picks all over the place. But I still think it's probably one right now for me, Browns, two Ravens, three. I'm going to say I'll say three Steelers, four Bengals. But like, if it's 7-9 Bengals and 8-8 Steelers, I would not be surprised. I think there's like a game or two between them.
You think the Bengals have 7 wins next year?
Their offensive line's good. I think getting Jonah Williams, like, that's one of the weird things. And I think Joe Burrow was a lot better than people. Like, I know you and your Justin Herbert. You love your guy, Justin Herbert. And I think they had a great draft. And he's going to have a lot of fun with my guy, Josh Palmer. That being said, I think this Bengals team has a lot more talent than people are giving them credit for, with Burrow, Mixon, Jamar Chase into the mix. Like, they have guys. And I think I would not be surprised if they make more strides than people think next year.
Yeah. I think every year you have a little more faith in a team than I can personally understand. And I think that that might be the case again with the Bengals. I don't know, man. The division is weird. Like, you know, obviously Jadeveon Clowney's a, you know, big name, but he had 0 sacks last year, right? So I'm not so sure what I think about, I think I'm going to have to see that unfold. I still don't, I hope OBJ has a triumphant return. You know, that's my boy, but I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in that division that I don't know necessarily. We'll have to wait and see. I honestly don't even know who I think wins that division between the Ravens and Browns.
I think it'll be tight no matter what. I just think, like, I'm going to forget that Sammy Watkins is a Baltimore Raven all season. Like, that's just going to, I'm not going to remember that off the top of my head. I've already scratched that in. That, like,
yeah, but it's like every time someone signs Sammy Watkins, it's like, no, that's actually not that special or exciting. Like, sorry.
Well, they're going to go with him, Hollywood Brown.
And who's the new guy they drafted?
Well, they drafted two. Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota was their first.
Bateman, yeah.
And then they got Tylan Wallace, who was a freak at OK State.
So here's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. Is Bateman the next line of got receivers that were really exciting pre-draft that don't make it with the Ravens? The Berrymans, right? Hollywood Brown, right? Like,
he's different. Rashad Bateman's boring. Like, if you watch a lot of Minnesota, he's more Anquan Boldin-y.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, the Ravens have been doing this for a while now. They've been drafting receivers that really just were way more exciting prior, and they're not as exciting now. And
hey, look, you know, they don't Derek really Mason pan was out great for them for a long time.
Hey man, Torrey Smith had a good season there too. I'm just saying, like, lately it has not been the case.
A lot of people buying in on the Colts. Eric Fisher sign with the Colts. There was a CBS Facebook post about, oh, Carson Wentz behind this offensive line with Nelson and him. And look, I don't know what's going to happen here. Frank Reich is a really good coach. He's gotten a lot out of nothing in Indy thus far. Carson Wentz, man, I have no idea. No idea what happens here. If you were to tell me Jacob Eason starts more games for the Colts this fall than Carson Wentz, I would not be surprised. I'm sure the Eagles are hoping that is not the case, because I think he has to start like 75% of their games to get that first round pick. But like, Fisher was not good last year. And I still wonder, like, I don't know. I'm not all the way sold on Carson Wentz just bouncing back. I think it's a toss up. I just think what's going to benefit the Colts right now, when you look at the rest of this division and Falcons, go get Malik Hooker. He's still out there. Malik Hooker, we can never stay healthy. I'm all about it. And add more safety depth. I don't know. They're such a weird team to forecast. Like, I am so low on Houston, and the Titans defense is going to be awful next year. Like, awful, awful. And I think there's going to come a point where Derrick Henry's just not Derrick Henry. And I think their skill position guys are down. Tannehill, I think the dam will break at some point there too. I'm not high on the Titans going in this year. But then you look at this division, you're like, who are you high on? And like, I've got bad news, Evan. I talked myself into the Jags winning this division at like 7-10. Like, I think that's a distinct possibility, because I don't believe in this Colts team yet. Like, I've got to see what Carson Wentz looks like. He has the talent all around him. Jonathan Taylor could be the next big thing. Like, he was amazing last year for Indy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you
Carson think? Wentz's job will be very easy this year, which is why I think they could have a very good season. But I don't have like a whole lot of faith in Carson Wentz as far as like a team leader, you know, like forcing his team to win games. I think the Titans are one of those teams that they're going to just continue to probably be good, right? We can definitely see 9-10 wins out of them. I don't see them really ever maybe getting out of the first round of the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be bad, though. I definitely don't think the Jaguars win this division with 7 wins. There's absolutely zero shot. I also don't think the Jaguars win 7 games. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is one of the most exciting quarterbacks in a long time. And I know, you know, it's we kind of joke about it, but like, think about how good Justin Herbert was last year, right? Like, genuinely, like, if you have a first round pick quarterback, you hope they have as good of a year as Justin Herbert did. How many wins did the Chargers have?
What did they go? 6-10 last year?
Like 7-3? See? So yeah, but
I don't even my point, know. So, off the top of my head, how many did they win? Do you know off the top of your head? I don't even remember now. Let's see.
I didn't think it was 6. That's
they were third in AFC. Let me see. Now I want to do this.
So they won 7 games.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So 7 games. The Chargers had a lot better roster. But I think the Chargers had a much better roster last year.
Jags are sneaky okay. That roster is not terrible. You're not a Jags guy, and I'm not saying that. What? Also hurt
my guy. They literally had the number one pick last year. It's not that I'm not a Jags guy. They got Trevor Lawrence for a reason. Like,
I mean, I'm a big DJ Chark guy. They got Marvin Jones, like that one. Laviska Shenault's my dude. Like their offensive line.
I like Laviska. I like Shenault, and I do like
James Robinson's a good running back. He's good.
I like James Robinson too. But I just. Dude, it's just the Urban Meyer thing, you know. I also don't know, like, do you trust those linebackers? I mean, Miles Jack is still pretty good, but, like, do you trust the linebackers playing together with corners? Like, I don't know. It's going to be a weird division. It's going to be a very underwhelming division. That's the thing that I think it almost feels funny that we're spending this much time talking about this division, because it's like, it's going to be probably pretty underwhelming.
I would agree. The last thing I want to touch on. So Greg Rosenthal, great NFL.com writer, co-host of the Around the NFL podcast. He does his best free agents available. Your guy, Trent Williams, was number one pre this process that you guys re-signed, which was a very good move, I would say, Evan Swords.
I would agree.
Guys still out there. I want you to tell me where you would like them to go. Mitchell Schwartz, excuse me. I have Swartz in the brain. Will be 32 when he plays football. If he does, he's dealt with a lot of back, or he dealt with a lot of back stuff. Last
didn't
year.
Didn't he retire? Isn't he coming out of retirement?
He has not officially.
Okay. I mean, at this point, I think Schwartz just needs to go to a team that he can play.
Yeah.
I mean, we're this late into the season, right? Rookie camp starts soon. Like, he's got to go where he can play. He might have to wait for an injury. There might have to be a camp injury or something like that. You know, I don't know that I know specifically who needs Mitchell Schwartz, but I just, you know, I think he's still available for a reason.
I don't know why Justin Houston's not available, or is available, excuse me. Like, that dude, he is the John Abraham of our generation, Evan. Like, that dude is just going to be fine. Like, maybe the Michael Bennett, like those types where it's just, until it falls off, I'm not going to believe it's actually going to fall off. I don't know why teams are taking bigger swings on guys where I'm like, the production's right there. Like, just sign Justin Houston.
I mean, isn't it kind of the thing, right, where he, like, you know, he's, I mean, do you play him at, what position do you play him at? What scheme is going to be in? Who's available? You know, like, I will say this. The edge position right now in the NFL is probably the best it's been in a very long time. There's a lot of talent at the edge position.
Have you seen what the Bills are trotting out next year?
I mean, hey, listen.
No, I'm saying, like, was positive. Like, AJ Espinosa, they drafted two edge guys in Rousseau and Basham from Wake Forest. Like, they're loaded. They've just, like, six. They're carrying six. That's insane.
The Niners, too. The Niners' edge situation is really good, especially if Dee Ford still comes out and even plays at least two or three games. So I don't know necessarily that Justin Houston is, like, washed. I don't think that's the case. He had 25 tackles and 8 sacks last year. I just think he's, you know, he's got to find the right team that needs him. You know, I think the 49ers are the type of team I can't even think of it right now. Who was the defensive end that the 49ers signed 2 years ago? Was kind of in this situation. God, I can't think about it. Anyways.
The Niner who was in the situation.
It was a defensive end that came in and played with the 49ers. But my point is just that I think that Justin Houston is going to be one of those similar to Mitchell Schwartz, actually. You know, there's going to be a team that'll sign him, you know, during camp. Maybe there's an injury or something like that. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy though. 8 sacks and you're still a free agent. That's kind of weird.
I'm going to rattle off the rest of these names and you're going to tell me whether or not.
The answer for Justin Houston is the Cowboys. That's where you should go.
I don't hate that. Tell me, do you want this guy on your team this fall? Yes or no? Melvin Ingram?
Yes, absolutely. I would love that.
KJ Wright?
No, I don't think there's room for him.
Richard Sherman.
Absolutely. You draft two corners in this draft. You want Richard Sherman on your team. He's as good of a coach as he might not be as, I mean, even last year towards the end of the year, he was kind of playing safety almost a couple games. So, but I absolutely want him back.
Austin Ryder.
Don't care.
Duke Johnson.
No.
Bashaud Breeland.
Sherman first, Breeland second.
Malik Hooker.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm really surprised. And I mean, I understand the injuries, but like a guy with Malik Hooker's talent, especially with the 49ers and their defensive line and their defensive ends, and kind of, you know, I'm more pressed or pass rush over coverage. I think Malik Hooker, if you were to let him at least share snaps with Tart and Ward. Absolutely.
Well, then I'll end on this. Everson Griffin.
You know, the 49ers defensive end room, if you will, is pretty crowded, but I'd still like to see Griffin on the team. Yeah, absolutely.
Good depth guy. He's 33. His age is there, though. Not the same dude anymore. But if he's a rotation guy, then it's nice to have. Some teams don't even have rotation guys on the edge. Mr. Schwartz, that's all I've got. Is there anything you'd like to add as we wrap up this Monday night, early Tuesday morning edition of the pod?
No, I will say this. Someone said today on Twitter that Trey Sermon is going to be the Alvin Kamara for the 49ers. And I love that idea. And that was something I was really excited about. I'm really excited for the 49ers to have Trey Sermon as a very talented running back. And
wait,
in
now
the
I have to pull up your running back room. I have to pull this up.
What is it? So it's Raheem Mostert. Who's the guy from New York, the Giants, that he just...
Oh, Wayne Gallman.
Wayne Gallman. They still have Jamichael Hasty, who's an undrafted free agent, but I didn't think he was very good. Jeff Wilson is a little touchdown machine. Good goal line back. So,
oh, I know who my pick's going to be. It's going to be Elijah Mitchell. That's the guy who breaks through this year.
Yeah, that's pretty safe.
It's going to be the opposite guy. It's just how Shanahan works. It's going to be the wrong dude. It's never going to be the guy that, yeah, he's full on Louisiana Raging Cajun. That's got all the makeup of all-star linebacker.
But so that's kind of what everyone's saying though, is that it's going to be Trey Sermon is going to be, you know, the Jeff Wilson, and then Elijah Mitchell will be the new Raheem Mostert.
Yes, I can see that.
Elijah Mitchell's 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that. I was born in 1998. It's actually kind of old for a guy getting out of college.
Mm. Well, hey, hold on. That's when I got like some
that plays football, right? You know,
some of us want to ride it out a little bit. Mr. Swartz, thank you as always. What should the people do when they listen to us talk for close to an hour on this very podcast? What should they do as we wrap up here?
Well, you know, first and foremost, go take a shower, because I feel dirty listening to myself talk, so I would imagine you do too.
Are you a two shower day guy or a one?
Ooh, I'm a one shower a day guy.
Oh, interesting. I would not have guessed that.
I right after the gym in the morning.
Okay.
You know.
But not at night. You don't do a night shower.
No, it seems kind of redundant.
Mm.
Shower and then lay in bed. I don't know.
But you don't feel dirty getting in bed?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I'm not doing much. Maybe if I was running around all day long, but I'm like sitting in a chair, you know, not a lot really pushing the energy consumption, you know?
I mean, there's not a right answer here, but I don't know. I'm a two shower a day guy.
I mean, you also think you're also a hypochondriac, so I can definitely see you feeling the need to shower multiple times a day.
I mean, for sure. I am very much a shower guy. I also just enjoy a good shower. Like, I love being in the shower. Like, that is a stress reliever for me. And as someone who is just stressed to the gills at all times.
Not to go on a tangent or anything, mm-hmm. but I will say, I've noticed the older I get, the more I just kind of, I'll bring my phone into the shower and just kind of sit there.
Right.
I'm starting to wonder if there's something wrong with me. You know, I'm like just kind of like just zoning out.
No, it's amazing.
It's therapeutic.
It's very therapeutic. I zone out. Like, people were you've joined my tribe, Evan, because people were like, how do you take 20-minute showers? And I'm like, I don't think I'm in the shower for 20 minutes. That's how you do it. Like, you just forget you're in there. Like, you just completely zone out and you're like, oh man, I'm pruning up quite badly. Should probably get out of here. That's how you know you did the shower right, is when you just forget all concept of time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, that's a good thing to have. All right, Mr. Swords, I might get Chipotle tomorrow because of your recommendation. I might. I used to get it all the time. I'll tell you a funny story. Wrap it really quickly. Old roommate back in Atlanta. He always got the same. Like, he ate the same thing every day. Like, exact same thing.
Sounds like me.
Well, no. It wasn't like a healthy thing. Like, he did not eat breakfast. And then he ate Chipotle for lunch, Chipotle for dinner, the exact same Chipotle. Then he would have baby carrots for his dessert, and then he would have a bowl of cereal, and that'd be it. Did it every day. He went to Chipotle twice a day. Never missed a day. But he did it so much that they catered the house like for free for his birthday for how much money he spent at the downtown Atlanta Chipotle.
That's awesome.
Is that not incredible to go somewhere so much that they bring in some Chipotle catering?
I mean, as a guy that's literally sponsored by White Claw, I fully believe in brand partnerships. So yeah, I love that.
What's number one after this weekend? Have your rankings changed?
No. Okay. It's pineapple first. Pineapple's elite.
Evan Swartz.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you as always, my friend. We'll be back next week.
All right. Good night, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.